get to my text, I am very appreciative for this opportunity. Several things that Brother Pat mentioned stirred up a few things I just want to remember. Over in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says that he that lacketh these things, and that means adding to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, to your knowledge temperance, and to your temperance patience, and to your patience kindness, godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness charity. Says he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he is purged from his old sins. I'm also reminded of what the Lord told one of the churches over in Revelation. He says, remember from whence thou art fallen, and return unto the first works, or else, he says, I'll come and remove the candlestick. I'm thankful for this church. I've heard many things about it. I'm thankful to be able to come and to worship with you. I ask that you pray. If you have not done that, I'm going to just say shame on you, and to do it now. And if you have, I'm thankful to the Lord you have prayed, and I ask that you do it now as well. The things that are on my mind this evening come from two questions that the Lord asked. I'd like to start with Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, where the Lord asked his disciples, he says, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And the other question that I'd like to look at that the Lord poses, he poses to the Pharisees over in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 42, when he says, what think ye of Christ? And then he says, whose son is he? And I know that that really deals with a lesson entirely different from what I'd like to look at this evening, but I'd like to look at that part where he says, what think ye of Christ? I'd like to start with the first question over in Matthew 16 and 13, where he says, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Back then in those days, the answer came that they think you're a prophet. They think you're one of the prophets. Maybe you're John the Baptist, returned from the dead. Maybe you're Jeremiah. Maybe you're Elias. Who knows? They think you're a prophet. Well, in our day and time, they don't think any different. The world thinks there's really three positions I've heard from religions outside of, almost outside of Christianity, and we'll perhaps get to some of those inside of the term Christianity, but I went to school with some of other orders, and I mean way outside of the orders. I'm talking about foreign religions that don't even name the name of Christ, but they know who he was. First of all, we'll say this. He says, I, the Son of Man. Jesus Christ was a man. He was God manifest in the flesh. John chapter 1 says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Most all the other religions of the world have heard of Jesus Christ. I'm going to make this statement, and you brethren can dress me down if it's too much, but I think the majority of the people in the world have heard the name of Jesus Christ in one sense or another. And there are some, I'll say, have never heard his name, and that doesn't prevent the Lord's work in their heart. It doesn't prevent one thing that the Lord did for them on the cross of Calvary. And I'll say that from the outset. But the majority of people in this world have heard something about the Lord Jesus Christ. And usually those that are not considering themselves followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll say one of these positions. And all of these I've heard personally in conversation. One from a student that I taught of another order, he said that Jesus Christ was a prophet, nothing more. And whenever we just consider this for a moment, and I'll just say this, that all the positions they take are true. Jesus Christ is a prophet. Jesus Christ prophesied of things that were going to happen after. Well, he prophesied during his ministry. He says that the scribes, I'm going to be beaten, I'm going to be killed, I'm going to be crucified. He says after the third day, I'm going to rise again. All these things came true. He prophesied. His word was true. But he's not just a prophet. Their point is that he's a prophet, but not the Son of God. That he's a prophet, but not the Savior of mankind. And this position you just cannot take and be an intelligent person or even a reasonable person, because Deuteronomy chapter 18, the very last verse says, when a prophet speaks and it comes not to pass, and whatever he says comes not to pass, it doesn't come to pass, then that thing that he spoke is not of the Lord. And he says, you don't have to fear that prophet. Don't worry about him, because he's not my prophet. He doesn't speak the things that are me. How do you know if a man's a prophet or not? Well, it's very simple. That what he says comes to pass. And I heard a sermon not long ago. He says that most of the prophecies in the scriptures and in the Old Testament that prophesied of the Lord Jesus Christ had an immediate fulfillment, and it pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ was the fulfillment, but it had an immediate fulfillment so that the people would know that this indeed was a true prophet of the Lord. He never made that point that this is the reason that there is an immediate fulfillment of prophecy and a long-term fulfillment. But the point that I think that it establishes is that that is a true prophet. The immediate fulfillment of Scripture is necessary so that we know and can rely on what that prophet has said. So for a man to say that Jesus Christ was only a prophet, now I'm going to say, you have to realize I'm sometimes not as kind to others as I need to be, but that person's a fool, because what he's just said is that here is a good prophet that has prophesied that he is going to rise from the dead, and they don't believe he did it, or that he is the Son of God that came down from heaven. He's prophesied as to some things, as to stating who he is, and yet they don't believe what he said, but they want to say he's a good prophet. That's just making excuses, or trying to make excuses for themselves on their lack of belief. The next thing is kind of along the same lines, is that he's a good teacher. Well, if I'm a teacher, by the way, and if I were to stand up in history and to teach that the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941, most folks would kind of run me out of that history class, because they say, this man doesn't know what he's talking about. The Germans didn't bomb Pearl Harbor, but the Japanese did. And I'll just use that as an example. How can a man be a good teacher if the things he teaches are not true? In order to be a good teacher, it is of necessity that the things that you teach are good. Otherwise, you're not a good teacher. That's just common sense. Nicodemus says, we know thou art a teacher come from God because of the things you do. And on another occasion, a rich young ruler called him good. He says, good master, what good thing that may I do that I can inherit eternal life? He says, why callest thou me good? And he wasn't saying he wasn't good. He says, why callest thou me good? There's only one that's good, and that is God. He was good. He is good. And the next thing is they say that he was a good man. And I'll just say this as a point of maybe past history recently. There's those that say here is a good president, but yet he has no good morals. He lies, he cheats, he steals, but yet here's a good president. How can you be good and do all the bad things? It's not possible. The Lord didn't come to save the righteous. He came to save sinners. I'm not good. If you hear the preaching of the gospel by me or any other brethren, don't give them the credit, because God is good, none else. And I'll just leave it at that. So whom do men say that Jesus Christ is? They say he's a prophet, a teacher, he's a good man. He's all of those things, but he's much more. He's the Son of God. And I'd like to stir your mind, and I like the subject very much, because Peter says, as long as I'm in my tabernacle, I want to stir your mind by way of remembrance, which tells me that he's not speaking anything new. He's speaking things he's been taught, and I trust that down through the ages, all this that is laid out in the Lord's church, we're continuing to teach it just as we've been taught it. And I'll say this, that if you have perfection, you can't progress on that. That's the best that it's ever going to get, and that's all we've got here is perfection in the Lord's church. We're not perfect, but his design is perfect. And I'm with Brother Pat. I want to leave it just the way it is. But he says, whom do you say that I am? I want to stir up your mind, and we want to consider who do we say that Christ is. And certainly, the next question is, whose son is he? And we know that according to nature, he was born of Mary, who was of the lineage of David, according to the Scriptures, that he could sit upon David's throne, that all that was spoken to David would be true. Over there in 2 Samuel, he says that I know that thou hast made with me an everlasting covenant, ordering all things in sure, that this is all my salvation, this is all my desire, although he maketh it not to grow. David knew that there was a promise and a covenant made to him, that after him would come a king, after his descendancy, that would sit on that throne, and that throne would be established forever and ever. And if that's not the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't know who else it could be. It certainly wasn't any of his other offspring. But anyway, we find that certainly according to nature, he came from David. And I think that was the lesson over in Matthew 22. But much more than that, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, I want to just use that as an assumption. I believe that, and I don't want to spend a lot of time to prove that. I think that you believe that as well, or we wouldn't be here. But I want to notice two things regarding what think ye of Christ. Now, the first one is this. I want to think about what thank ye of his ministry in the things that he spake, his voice and his message. He came first preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I believe he came following in the footsteps of John the Baptist to establish his church upon himself as the rock. But we want to notice over here in Matthew chapter 7, where he began to teach, and this is in another place. I believe it's Mark chapter 1, maybe chapter 2. Over here in Matthew chapter 7, it says in verse 28, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, and I don't want to get into these, but just notice this point. He says, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Well, who more to have authority on the very words that he's the author of the scriptures. He's the author of those things that were contained in the scriptures. As a matter of fact, he wrote them, and he wrote them about himself, because he would say, search the scriptures, for in them ye think that ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. Who else to stand upon the pulpit and preach about the scriptures than the person that wrote all about it, knows everything front and back, and even things that were to be put in later for our benefit? Certainly, we study to show ourselves approved unto God, and we try to do that. I want to be approved unto God, that I have made every effort to study the Word of God and to understand it, and I pray the Lord to give me a spirit to preach it. But when it comes down to it, no one can speak these things like Jesus Christ, because he's the author of these things. He spake as no other man spake, because he spake with authority, and not just authority. Authority means that he has the right. I believe I'm correct in this, that authority means you have the right of ruling, or the right of, that's a good, because he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he has the right. Authority, that's what authority is. I may have authority, as a principal in my school, which I'm not the principal, don't want to be the principal, don't ever want to be the principal. But anyway, I may have that authority, but let's say that when I say something, all the kids do the right opposite. I don't have any power with that. I've got the title, but I've got no way to enforce those rules. Here's a man that had authority because he's the author of it. He's the Son of God. He also had the power to fulfill it. He had the power to speak it, and it was done. So here was a man, never spake a man. And I want to get over there in John chapter 7, when the Pharisees had already had their fill of the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, go get him, we're going to put him to death. Go get him, we're going to imprison him. I forget, you can turn to John 7. And he says, go get him. And they came back, and they hadn't got him. They didn't do what he said. Like this man. And then they said, are you also deceived? There was never a man spake like the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you what, there's never a man going to speak like Jesus Christ speaks. And if you don't understand the point I'm making here, is Jesus Christ is alive. I do something in my, that's not a point. You say, well, why do you have to even mention that? Here's the reason. Because we read him on the page, we don't often really think about that the Lord Jesus Christ is alive, sitting on the right hand throne of God, making intercession for us. I think we forget that. I know we do, and here's the way I know it. I ask my kids to write a page or a paper about some man living or woman that they greatly admire. You know, Jesus is never one of those. Why not? Who better to admire than Jesus Christ? Because they don't see him. They see him as a figure of history. They don't see him as the risen Savior, as a present tense speaker. He speaks present tense. There's never a man spake like he did. There's never a man going to speak like he speaks now. And I can prove to you he speaks now. John chapter 5 says, the hour is coming and now is. Jesus said that right then. He says, the hour is coming later. I think right now is that hour. He says, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. He's not talking about a second coming. He's talking about regeneration. And he says that the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Never spake a man like this man spake. The preacher cannot speak life unto a dead alien sinner. I don't care how wonderful this gospel is. The Bible says it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It can't give you eternal life. You believe it because you have eternal life. But the Son of God has a power to speak. He has authority to do it from God the Father. He says that I can give eternal life to as many as thou hast given unto me. And he speaks unto them eternal life, and they rise from the dead. They hear his voice and they come forth. He said, the hour is coming and now is. He says, right now while I'm talking to you, there's people being born again. So that tells me that right now, until time shall be no more, he's continuing that work. He's continuing to speak, and no man's going to speak like that. I can't speak with that power, and you can't speak with that power. Nobody else can speak with that power. And what's more, we can't speak with the power he's going to speak with. We can't speak the way he did speak. We can't speak the way he speaks now. And we can't speak the way he's going to speak. Because he's going to go on a few verses later and says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming. Not now is. The hour is coming when all that are in the graves. Did you notice the first time he didn't say they were in the graves? He said they were dead. You know, there's dead people walking around with a live body because they're dead in sins. They're not dead and in the graves. They're dead in trespasses and sins. The second time he says, marvel not. For all that are in the graves. Now here's people that are dead. I'm talking naturally dead. They're in the graves, but the hour's coming when they're going to come forth. How are they going to come forth? Because this preacher's going to get up there and preach them out? No, they can't preach them out of that, and they certainly can't preach them out of the other one. I don't know any preacher that would say they can preach them out of the grave, but there's a lot of them think they can preach them out of the other one. The Bible says it's the same voice. If one voice raises them here, it's the same voice that raised them over here. Never spake a man like this man spake. What think ye of Christ? I hope you think the same thing. There is no, and you know what else? It rubs off on you. It rubs off on you. Now, I just said that Jesus Christ speaks in your heart. He raises you from death and trespass and sin. I believe he calls you gospel speaking. I believe I believe I can prove by Ephesians 1 and 19, that it takes the same power to believe in Jesus Christ as it took to raise him from the dead. Amen. And I don't want to go get into that. I hear some amens. You must have read it too. Now, he speaks to us that way. And I can show over in the Old Testament, he spake to Elijah in a still small voice. I believe that was the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can find in Acts chapter 9 where he spake to Saul. He says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I believe he speaks to us in the recesses of our heart even today. It rubs off on us. Whenever Jeremiah said, I'll not preach anymore, I don't know any other man that had a better reason not to preach than Jeremiah. Because the Lord says, Jeremiah, you go preach to this people. They're not going to hear you. You preach to them, but they will not listen to your word. I come to a people that love the truth. I know it because I've been around you before. You love to hear the truth. You want to hear the truth. That's why you're here, is to hear the truth. I believe that. But I'll tell you what, I'd have a hard time if they said, Brother Luke, we want you to come preach, and here's a bunch of people not going to hear what you say. They're going to hate what you say. They're going to jeer instead of amen you. I don't know that I'd be so willing to go. I'm willing now. I trust I'd be willing if the Lord would go. But now Jeremiah said, I'm not going to do it anymore. What was his final answer? He said, I'm going to have to do it. Why am I going to have to do it? Because he's put something within me. He said, it's fire shut up in my bones. The Apostle Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I can't help that's within me. If I've got a calling, and right now I tell you, I feel like I've got a calling. There's other times I don't. But right now I feel like I've got a calling, and I want to preach and testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. Over in Acts chapter 4, there were some ignorant and unlearned men. But you know what? They perceived that, and they were astonished. They took knowledge. What? That they've been with Jesus. And whenever a preacher's been with Jesus and has been revealed some things about Jesus in the Scriptures, it's evident, brethren, when they preach the gospel that the Lord's been with him. It rubs off on them because never spake a man like this man spake. Again, if you enjoy the preaching of the gospel, don't tell that man because he didn't get it from himself. He got it from the greatest preacher that ever lived, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to look at one other thing about what thank you of Christ. And it kind of goes hand in hand with this talk of testifying. And it's going to get back to that voice, but just bear with me. Over in John chapter 5, I want to get a verse, then I'll flip over to John chapter 8. First, in verse 31, he says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. He says, there's another that bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. He's talking about John the Baptist. He's going to go on. Yet, ye sent unto John, and he bare witness of the truth. Now, Jesus says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness isn't true. Listen to what he says over in John chapter 8, verse 14. Though I bear witness of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I came and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. See, the reason he can judge and the reason he can witness is because he's not alone. I believe that's what he's saying. If I'm alone and I testify and witness of myself, I can't do that. That witness isn't true. But I'm not alone. My Father is with me. He's going to go on and say, it is written in the law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. There's two. The Father and the Son bearing witness to the same thing. What? Of the Son. They're bearing witness that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he's come down to do a work. And I believe it's the work that's under consideration. This is the second thing. What think ye of Christ? The works of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, go back to John chapter 5. And I want to hear after he says, there's another that bears witness of me. He says, but I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than that of John. There's something greater than the fact that John the Baptist has come saying, this is the Lamb of God. There's something that's great. And you know what the Lord said about John the Baptist, don't you? There's not been a greater prophet that has risen since John. He says, of all the prophets, there's not been a greater than John. And I seem like I'm getting that mixed up. He's the greatest prophet other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the end of the prophets. As far as I can understand, the law and the prophets are until John. Since that time, the kingdom of heaven is preached. What is the greater witness than John? John was the one that was sent to bear witness, testified and prophesied in the Isaiah 40, the one preaching in the wilderness. And there's a greater witness than that, absolutely. That's what Jesus said. He said, here's the greater witness. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. He says the works that I came down to do. John 6, he says, I came not to do mine own will, but to do the will of him that sent me. Will you allow me that he came down to do the works of the Father? Would you allow me that? I think you would. He says, the works that I do, they bear witness of me. Go over there in John chapter 10, talking to these Pharisees that did not believe. He says, I told you, and ye believe not. Now, let's look at what they just said. He says, if thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus says, I told you. How plainer can it get? I came down from heaven. That gets pretty plain. Who else can come down from heaven? Did you have power to come down from heaven? No. Do you have power to take yourself up to heaven? No. I told you, and you believe not. He says, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because you're not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I believe he can say, I'll remember them too. The foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth, the Lord remembereth them that are his. I believe those words can be interchanged there without hurting that text. But he says, the works. These people didn't believe because it didn't matter what work. You remember that rich man says, Luke 16, he's in hell. He says, send Lazarus from the dead that he may testify of five brothers. He won't hear him. He won't hear Lazarus. He says, yes, send him. I don't want him to come to this place of torment. He says, they have Moses. Let them hear him. The works. See, the works. They thought they had Moses. He said, they won't hear Moses. He said, neither will they hear. They're not going to hear for a reason. They're not of his sheep. That's what he's telling them. But he says that the works bear witness. Over in John 14, I believe he's talking to his disciples here. And verse 11, he says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. I believe he's saying, believe me because I'm telling you. But he says, if not, he says, or else, believe me for the very work's sake. That's all you really need. You don't need his testimony because the works bear witness of who he is. He is the Lord Jesus Christ, but he has particular works in mind, I believe. He says, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, which means he hadn't finished them yet. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 17, he's going to pray to the Father, Father, I have finished the works thou gavest me to do. Glorify thy Son with thine own self, with the glory that I had with thee before the world was. Now he's speaking as it's past tense, but he's not yet done it, because he's fulfilled everything up until that point. And it's just as sure as he's going to do it, he's about to go. He says, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. And I don't want to get into that, but he's finished all the works up until that time. And then he was crucified on the cross of Calvary and paid the sin debt for all of his people. And he finished that, and he declared, those works are finished. But I believe there's still works to be done. Like I said, he's still speaking. And not only in our regeneration, but in Hebrews he says he ever liveth to make intercession for us. See, that's a work that's not yet finished. Here he says, the works that I do bear witness of me. Now, I don't know just how the intercessory work bears witness, because others can't see that, but I'm telling you, there's still a work that they're going to see. At the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, I'm going to come with a shout. And I believe that's his voice again. I might turn over and prove that. I don't know. He says that he's going to come in one place, he says, with the voice of the archangel. But I believe he says with the shout. And you brethren are going to have to be patient while I find that. It's over in Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. The Lord himself is going to shout. Never spake a man like this man spake. It's going to be his voice. And when he returns, I hope you brethren agree with me, every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess. When he returns, his voice, according to John 5, he's going to resurrect all the dead, both the just and the unjust. Those that have done good under the resurrection of life, those that have done evil under the resurrection of damnation. And as far as I'm concerned, I like what your articles of faith says. One is eternal, the other is everlasting. That same time period to me, they're going to last forever. The joys of the righteous will be everlasting, and the eternal punishment of the wicked, or the punishment of the wicked will be eternal. Or maybe it's the other way around. I agree with you. That's his work. And at that time, when they're resurrected, I believe the wicked are going to acknowledge, this is indeed the Son of God. They're going to fear him. As a matter of fact, the Bible says they're going to pray. Maybe first time they've ever prayed in their lives, they still direct it to the wrong place. They direct it to the rocks and the hills to cover us, to hide us from the wrath of him that is here, or however that is worded. What think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is successful? I believe he's successful. He did everything the Father sent him to do. And he says, this is the Father's will, that of all that he has given me, I should lose nothing. You have a doctrine that teaches all of the people he loves isn't going to get there. That's not of God. That's simple. The Father's will is that he should lose nothing. He can't lose anything and be successful. Not one. Just like the perfection of the law, we had to keep it to perfection. If he loses one, he's not successful, because that's the Father's will. He did the Father's will. They're all secure in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you. Amen.